Okay.
Now we're live. Okay, you guys, get on in here. Welcome, welcome. This is a special live that I'm doing today. This is Conservative Mama. I've got a special friend on that's going to be joining us and kind of talking about all kind of the things that are going on in the world right now, but then also what's coming next from a biblical point of view. So I'm going to give it a minute and see if other people join. I don't see any action yet. Hold on. Let's see. I see we've got somebody on. Let me know where you're coming on from. We had some technical difficulties earlier. I was trying to stream to too many places and it wouldn't let me add Facebook. Okay. So Facebook's here. Good. Okay. YouTube is here. That's good. Okay. And I believe Rumble. But I never can see. Okay, Ruth in California, welcome. Come on, guys, get in here. Let's do this. Okay, as I mentioned earlier, this is a special live. I've got a good friend on with me. Her name is Emerald. She is a wife, a mother, and just a real student of the Bible. I mentioned last time that I wanted to do kind of more of a study on end time events, eschatology. And I found myself when I would talk to Emerald, it just was like so much clearer. You know, I've studied scripture for years, but when I would talk to her, I'd be like, oh, okay. And then like just knowing a timeline of events, especially with what's going on in our world today, I think that it's good to know like what God's word says about right now, what happened long ago and what is to come. And so I'm having her join us. I'm super excited. Let me first really quick welcome some people. We've got Marcelo in Minnesota on YouTube. We've got Nadine in Dublin, California. Bob is here. Charles is here on Facebook. All right, you guys. So let me introduce to you my good friend, Emerald. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Hello. Thanks for having me.
It's good. I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad that you're able to just talk and I first want to just start off kind of like talking about what's going on in the world right now. I know a hot topic right now. I don't know if you have seen it. It's a movie called Leave the World Behind. If you guys have seen it on the comments, let me know. But it's kind of like eerily foreshadowing about like a cyber attack happening and kind of orchestrated by a global cabal. All this weird stuff. It was produced like the Obamas then put their name on it after it was in production. And it's kind of weird. And then we have all of this stuff going on with Israel, and there's just so many different things happening. And I think for me, I find myself spending more time reading my Bible, more time praying and asking for just insight. But I do think it's important to study scripture because it's what's so awesome is God's like, I provided you like a book that has everything in it. Exactly. It's like a map.
Yep.
And I just want to start before we even start talking is I a lot of people don't take God's word literally. There it's like a story of a group of stories.
Yeah, or fairy tales or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Or but I do. I take his word literally. I believe that what he said is true. I believe that what is spoken in the word will come to pass. And so let's just start with Israel. I know that you've been a huge like student of the Middle East and end time events and how Israel does play a role. What are your thoughts on Israel? What are your thoughts actually? Let's just get this out of the way because I find myself battling, and I've done this on live, battling with people that are like, well, Israel is insignificant. There's no significance with Israel. Israel has been replaced by the church. The people in Israel are not even like the true Israelis that were back in the Bible. The Jewish people are not really the Jewish people of the Bible. They're scattered all over the world, and the land of Israel is insignificant, and we should not even care. Right. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, that all could not be farther from the truth, like from the biblical truth. That is completely replacement theology, and that is illogical and unbiblical. on so many different levels, mostly because God says in his word, and we take the Bible literally, that if like his people is Israel, and he is going to complete his plan and his purpose for the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. And he wrote that in the Bible, I think Isaiah 46:10, I believe, where he said, I declare from the end to the beginning, from the end to the beginning, like I know my plans and it will happen, it must happen. He knows his plans for Israel, and he is going to see those complete no matter what man may say or do or try and thwart, or even what the devil might try and thwart and put in there, because the devil does know, Satan knows that his time is coming, like his time will end. And he's just trying to deceive the nations, deceive people. He's trying to make that not happen as best as he can, but he won't win. He won't.
Right.
And that's all based on God's word, through the prophecies that God gave to man. It was all prophecy given by God. Man just wrote it down. They were the vessel. And all of that is going to happen, because God does not lie. God does not change. And his character does not change. He is going to see his plan of redemption through.
Right. Amen. So I think what, and I'm seeing this a lot with even conservatives that I really like admired there. It's a very America first agenda. And let's just say, like, to preface this, I am America first. I love America. Yeah. I support America. I'm all in on that. But also, as a Bible believing Christian, I do recognize and acknowledge Israel and its significance in end time events. And I also am able to decipher between those that might be corrupt in the Israeli government. Like, not everyone is a good person. I understand that. Like, oh, you don't, you're just stupid. And like, you don't know. I do know. I do know. Yeah. But I do know that God's promises remain. What he promised to Israel, he will fulfill.
Yep.
And they actually play a big role in when you go into Daniel and Revelation and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what I want to talk to you now about is the significance of the church, because, like, I know that you've studied Daniel even more than I have, but like the 70th week or whatever that is, can you kind of explain what that is and then where the church is and all of that?
Yep. Yeah. So the 70th week, so there's 70 weeks in the book of Daniel that God gave Daniel as a prophecy to be fulfilled. There, so far there's 69 weeks that have been fulfilled so far. And there's the 70th week, which is 7 years, that is going to be fulfilled during the tribulation time. So that 70th week is specifically written for Israel. It's called Jacob's trouble. And Jacob's trouble is the 7 years of the tribulation. And it's to draw Israel, the people, the country of Israel, back to Messiah, to their Messiah, to see, have them realize and see their Messiah and call on him and believe in him. And that 70th week is going to be full of the tribulation times, all of the terrible things that's going to happen that Revelation talks about. It is to bring them back to God. And unfortunately, suffering sometimes, and extreme suffering, is a lot of the things that will draw a person back to their roots or back to home base and really grabs their attention, right? Like, we all speak different languages, but like, when suffering comes to any of us, like, it brings us to our knees, you know, like we run to something, and that for Israel will be God, their Messiah, in that 70th week. So yes, destruction will come across the world as part of God's wrath that is poured out on the unbelievers and on Israel, but it's the purpose of the tribulation is to bring his people, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, back to him and to call on his name and to acknowledge him as Messiah
right
during that time.
So when you talk about, let's talk about the wrath, like the wrath of God, because I mean, for me, I've seen so much injustice in this world. You hear these horrific stories of just absolute vile things happening. Yeah. It does feel like a lot of the wicked people in our government are getting away with, it's like there's no punishment for them. There is a two-tier justice system.
Yeah.
They're just kind of like they can do whatever they want, you know, and the rest of us, we have to, you know, abide by the law, and we can't delete thousands of emails, and we can't have horrible, horrible, vile, explicit stuff on laptops involving children. We can't get away with that. And it's not a big deal. It's a big deal if you're not part of the elite.
Right.
And for me, it's frustrating because it's like, I just feel like these people just get away with everything. At what point do the evil people in this world have justice? And I come back to the word of God. I come back to the Bible. And yes, there might be justice here on this earth while we're here, but I do believe when you start to get into Revelation, we'll talk about that here in a minute, you start to see the wrath of God pouring out. And like I've mentioned before on my lives, is in order for God to be righteous, he has to judge, right? Yep. Or else he's not righteous, because the righteous is justful.
Right.
So there has to be judgment.
Yep.
And it's coming. And we're getting closer. I mean, at some point, I don't know if people are watching and they're like, at what point, like how dark does it have to get? How evil does it have to get? I mean, you see the sex trafficking of children, you see these horrific things, the islands where just debauchery is happening.
And everything that happened October 7th, like
yes.
I mean, there's purely demonic activity that was going on.
Yes. And so, you know, that the wrath is coming, but I know that the church, the Bible continue to talk about this. And I know this is such a contested argument in the church, whether the rapture happens or whether there is no rapture, or whether the rapture, if there is one, then it doesn't happen until, you know, midway into the Antichrist exposing who he is, or I have people, you know, it's gotten really shady. But for me, when I go through scripture time and time again, like God makes it clear, you're not appointed to wrath.
Correct.
So I kind of want to hear your thoughts on the rapture, those that argue against it. What do you think of that?
Yes. So the rapture is definitely in the Bible. It is in the English word rapture is not in the Bible, because the Bible is not written in English. The New Testament was written in Greek. And so the word harpazo is the Greek word, which is translated then into rapturo, which is Latin. And then from rapturo, that's where we get the word rapture in English.
Right.
So harpazo, which means caught up, and that is in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, as well as like five other places in the New Testament and everything too, where it talks about harpazo, the word harpazo being used, and it means caught up and snatched away. And that is a very biblical event, rapture from those verses in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 alone, where it says that we will be caught up, those who remain, who are alive, will be caught up in the clouds, in the air, with Christ, along with the believers who have died, but have been resting and with God, or resting with God. Like, they will be caught up in the air first, and we will meet them in Christ in the clouds. And that harpazo word is where we get rapture from. So it is biblical. It is an event that's going to happen. It is something that we don't know the time of. It is something that, like Jesus said, in a twinkling of an eye, that we will be, that he will come to, he will appear in the clouds and receive us to himself. And that is the rapture. It is not the second coming. It's totally different than the second coming event. So the rapture is something that is only for believers, for Christian believers, and that is going to happen in a twinkle of an eye. And that is something that right now it could come any day. And it is something that we should be waiting expectantly for. It is something we should be looking towards, but also that should also spur us on and motivate us to share God's word with other people, with non-believers, and because we want them to be part of that, because that the rapture will happen based on biblical truths. Mm-hmm. That in biblical context, when you study the Bible and you look at it in context, that will happen before the tribulation begins. And that is delivering, that's God loving us and delivering us from his wrath that is going to be poured out on earth during the tribulation time.
Right.
And so that rapture belief is called pre-tribulation, because there's also, like you were talking about, mid-trib. Yeah. Which would be exactly 3.5 years into it, which that would be, you would know the date and the hour,
right?
Because that would be exactly 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation.
Right.
Based on a 360-day lunar year calendar, you can count the days, you would know the day of I think it's 1,260 days or something like that, you know, into the Jewish lunar year calendar, not off of our 365 day calendar. That's not biblical.
Right.
But
you'd be looking, okay, I know we're close. So
know the day. That can't be biblical, you know. And then post-trib, like, that just means that you are believing you're going to live through the wrath of God or hope to live through the wrath of God, and then, or die during the tribulation, and then what, be caught up just to be brought right back down, you know, right? Because Christ
and then,
is
or be a martyr for it, which doesn't make sense to me, especially when you start to study scripture, because like I mentioned, God is not appointed to wrath. And let me give people just a few references that are arguing back on this.
Yeah.
1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God has not destined us for wrath. Now that's different than trials. Right. I understand that as Christians, you go through trials and the devil, the attempts with temptation, but it says we are not destined for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Also, this is 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his son from heaven. That's what the Bible says we'll be doing, who he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Again, rescues us from the coming wrath.
Yep.
And then John 3:36, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's several, I could keep going.
Yeah. Yeah.
You start to like really dive into the wrath of God and how we escape the wrath of God. Plus, just from like, you know, if we are the bride of Christ, right? I don't see any place where you have the groom beating the crap out of the bride before he receives her.
Comes to take her for the wedding ceremony.
Right. Like that doesn't like. Completely.
And that goes against God's character. Goes against God's character of being a loving God who, yes, he's also just, but we were justified when we accepted Christ into our life. And his sacrifice on the cross and his blood covers our sins. So we are justified when we accepted him into our hearts and into our lives to be our Lord and Savior, to be Messiah. Like, that's when we were covered and we don't have to pay any further punishment. Like, Christ took the punishment for us. If we don't agree with that, like, we're shoving Christ's crucifixion and his sacrifice back in his face, saying, you're not good enough. Like, I have to go through this tribulation. I have to suffer more. Like, so I'm worthy of going and being with you in heaven. And that's not at all biblical. That's not why Christ came. It was his sacrifice, his gift, his blood. He was the lamb, the worthy one who was slain for us. Nothing of what we can do to get us to that place, you know.
Right.
It's all Jesus.
Right. It's a free gift of salvation. I think that's hard for people to receive. Some people, they think that they have to go through something or that, you know, they have to endure it in order to obtain salvation. But that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. It wasn't just obtaining salvation for eternal life. He was saving you from the day of wrath.
Exactly.
From the complete judgment taking place upon this world, which is coming.
Right. The rapture is one of the most important promises in the Bible for believers. Like, that is our blessed hope. Like, the rapture is our blessed hope. We're supposed to, it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18 and Titus 2:11-13 that we are supposed to encourage one another with these words, comfort one another with these words, that Christ is coming for us in the air, that we will meet him in the air. That is
and then also
the rapture. That's one of those greatest promises.
Because we meet him in the air in the description you gave. And then in Revelations, I believe it's at 19, it says that all the saints are then writing with him.
Back to earth.
We're coming back with him. And John says, Jesus says in John, I go to prepare a place for you. Yeah. Now, what place is he preparing if Jesus is coming back and bringing heaven to earth in the millennial reign as spoken of in Revelations 19?
Right.
Right.
The rapture gives us the opportunity to then be in heaven for those 7 years, enjoying those places that he has been preparing for us, enjoying that many rooms and the mansions that he has been preparing for us, you know, in the sky, while the tribulation and the wrath is being poured out on unbelievers and on earth. That's the wedding ceremony. That is that's our feast. That is when we are with him, our Savior, and we as the church, as the believers, we are the bride. That is the wedding ceremony between the bride and the bridegroom, Jesus. And so that is something that I definitely see biblical truths and look forward to, and can't wait for that day.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like, there's people, if people want to endure it, like they're like, no, that's not true. There's no rapture. I'm like, well, if that's what brings you hope, then I guess trust in that, because for the wrath, then by all means,
I mean, if you want to believe that, but that's not going to help you. That's not biblical, right? That's not biblical. It's not the context. It's not what Jesus said. It is our opportunity to be with Christ and then to come back and reign on earth in his second coming. But that time of up in heaven is going to be unlike anything we can even imagine for those 7 years. But that is to keep us from the wrath that is going to be poured out
in
the tribulation. So,
and also I think it's interesting, like when you look into Enoch, because like judgment, I mean, I think it's in Genesis 6 or is it 5 where God like regrets making humans.
He's like, Genesis 6, I think by Genesis 6.
He's like, what did I do? Yeah. Right. Yeah. He's realizing, and I don't know, a lot of people know this, but humans at that time were intermingling and fornicating with giants. Yep. And it was destroying the human race. Like this is that was taking place during this time. And actually some of it still seeps through on into David, and you see Goliath and all of that.
Yeah.
But first of all, Enoch is raptured.
Yep.
He's
Genesis 5:24.
Genesis 5:24. He is raptured out before the judgment comes.
Yep.
I think that's very significant. And God always foreshadows things. Like when you start to read scripture, it's incredible how it intertwines. Yep. So Enoch is raptured out. And then God uses Noah, not necessarily because Noah's a good guy, because Noah actually, he sleeps with, who does he sleep with, Emerald? He's
Some simple stuff.
I mean,
the Bible says that he got drunk on.
Oh, he got drunk. Yes,
and it was then like he was right. naked, and his sons came. Two of his sons came in and covered him up, and
right. Then, so yeah. He wasn't like this great upstanding guy. What was significant about Noah is his lineage at that point had not been intertwined with giants. He had a clean line. So God picked Noah to then restart population after the flood. But I always find it really interesting how Enoch was taken out. And he was a good guy. The Bible says he was a good guy. He walked with the Lord. He knew the Lord.
And then there was also Elijah in 2 Kings 2:12, Elijah who was raptured upward also.
Yeah.
And then of course Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, he also that same word harpazo was used when it talks about Jesus in Acts 1:9 ascending into heaven, being caught up. So three people were raptured across in the Bible, at least vertically. Then there is also Philip in Acts, who was raptured horizontally, actually, after he had baptized the eunuch and everything. And then the Spirit of God, it says, caught up and moved him 20 to 30 miles. I forget to what town, but like he was caught up and transported. And it's used the same word, harpazo, in that also.
Right, right. Okay, so now I want to talk about, because there's a lot of people that are like, okay, what is the millennium? We're going to talk about that in a second, about ruling and reigning here on this earth, because we actually ultimately rule on this earth.
Yes,
we do. People often say heaven is my home, but technically not really.
You'll be there 7 years.
for a little bit of time, but actually we come back and we are on this earth. Like God has given dominion to us on this earth. And so let's talk about, okay, so then, and I know we've already been talking a lot, but so let's talk just about the book of Revelation, how it came about, and then we can talk about the church, what happens after Revelation 4, and then go in kind of like a quick breakdown on the things that unfold in Revelation. Because a lot of people read Revelation and they're like, oh my gosh. But actually, the more I study it, the more it just becomes more and more clear to me. And then it's like, it's not even that confusing.
Complicated.
So Revelation to you, like, just give me a synopsis, kind of your take on it, Emerald.
Yeah, the book of Revelation is an amazing book. It is truly God. It has the wrath of God. It prophesies about the wrath of God later on in chapters, I think, 6 through 18. Or 4 through 18, chapters 4 through 18. But chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, that is talking about the church, but it's all about Jesus. Like the book of Revelation is all about Jesus as Messiah. It is the hope that Jesus is going to bring us, his church, his believers, in Revelation 2 and 3. And then it does talk about Jesus and the wrath that will be poured out on the world during Jacob's trouble, during the tribulation, because that he wants them to return to him, because he wants to bring them back to him. And only through suffering will a people like that, who have rejected their Messiah for so many years, be able to finally declare that he is God and see him as their Messiah. But the book of Revelation, it's all about hope. It is about hope for the believer. Mm-hmm. It is about hope that God is who he said he is. He is loving, he is just, and he is going to complete his story. And then from the beginning of time to the end, he is the Alpha and Omega. He's going to complete the story of humanity and redemption and his eternal love and gift through the book of Revelation. He is a just God, right? Like we learn about his character all throughout the Bible. He is loving and just, and he is long suffering, and he has waited and waited and waited thousands and thousands of years for his people to turn to him. And he, but eventually his patience will run out because he is just, and he just will have, he can't be with sin. So,
right. Well, eventually I think it gets so wicked. So it's like Days of Noah, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm over it. So, and Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, and he's going to say, go get your church.
Yep.
Go get them. Let's get, it's time. It's time. Yeah. This has gone on long enough. Those that have accepted me have accepted me. Those that have rejected me have rejected me, and all will know I'm God. All.
Yep. Yep. It's about Jesus. The revelation is all about Jesus and Messiah.
Right. Amen. So basically the first, three chapters or four chapters is to the church, correct? In Revelation.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. It talks about, it opens with like the first chapter opens with John, the disciple, the last living disciple of Jesus, John being given the vision from Jesus directly and given the words to write in Revelation, to write the book of Revelation. He says, write what you see and write down what you see. So the first chapter kind of just sets the stage of who Jesus is, John being transported in the vision to see what is going to come. And
right.
Jesus said, write down what is going to come. Then chapters 2 and 3, it's letters to the 7 churches, which is different churches back then in biblical times that right. also represent, you know, different instances of churches today. And so those were letters that John was writing via Jesus giving him the words
right.
to these different churches. And then, yes, chapters, I think 4 through 18 goes through the rapture and what the trials or tribulation time is going to come.
Right.
It goes through the judgments that will be poured out there's 3 different judgments, sets of judgments.
Okay, let me really quick ask you. There's probably a lot of people on here that watch. I watched the Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones interview.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really interesting. And I appreciate Alex Jones. I mean, he's been spot on with a lot of things. Some things that he's done, I disagree with, but he's very accurate with a lot of predictions. And I believe he's a Christian, but he said that he believed that the book of Revelation, he thought to be possibly like maybe something that could happen, but it can be prevented if we all do our part and stop the globalists or, you know, stop kind of like what's being conspired, that Revelation doesn't have to take place. And I was like, I don't think that's biblical. So then I went to scripture, and I just want to point this out to the audience. John says in chapter 4, verse 1, after this, I looked and behold, a door was open. This is John in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as if a trumpet were talking with me, which said, come hither, come up, which is kind of like harpazo in a way. Yep. Come up hither, and I will show you the things which must be thereafter. So I think it's very clear. This must be.
Must happen.
It can be prevented, or hey, if we do this or we do that, we can stop it. And it's kind of like, I mean, God has said this would happen.
Yep.
you know, he loves us, but he's like, I'm God and you're humans. And what I say trumps whatever you're going to try to do.
Exactly.
Because I'm God.
Right.
And he's saying this will come to pass. It must be.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, you can go from there, because after that, it kind of gets nuts. Then John starts seeing. So he's up. He's been kind of raptured, harpazoed, he's caught up. What is the specific thing? Come up hither. So he goes and he's in this kind of like having this vision, and Jesus is with him, showing him this is what's going to happen. It must be.
Yep.
And it must be, because God has to be righteous. In order for him to be righteous, he has to judge.
Yep.
So
Well, and he and has to happen to bring Israel, his people, back right. to him to right. call upon his name, Messiah. Right. And that is going to happen through the tribulation time.
Right.
That Israel will be saved.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So, okay. So then what happens kind of, not to okay. say that you have to give us a whole breakdown okay. of our Revelation, but just for clarity for those yeah. that are like,
yeah. Okay. So after, so right now, I guess maybe we can just start from the beginning, kind of like right now. Okay. So nothing, basically nothing needs to happen. Right. And until we, for us to be raptured, we right. can be raptured at any point. We being true Bible believing Christians, we will be caught up. And then when we're caught up into the air, we're with Jesus. We're in heaven for those 7 years, that tribulation time. Then what's happening down here on earth is the tribulation, the 7 years. So the first 3.5 years of that tribulation time is going to have kind of a false peace, because after us Christians are caught up, raptured from here, we have the Holy Spirit in us. That's the restrainer. That's the restrainer the Bible talks about. And when the restrainer is removed from the earth, that is then going to allow all lawlessness to break free and
right.
rampant. And you think, I don't know how it could get any worse than it is now, but it's going to with the lawlessness mm-hmm. and the just deception. But that's going to then lead to the Antichrist to then be revealed and right. to rise up and to then become the world leader.
And you think with all of that chaos, people are like, oh my gosh, we need yeah. someone. We need someone right. to help us.
Right.
And this guy's like, I can do it. And steps well, on the scene.
Yeah, he will definitely be the one world leader. It says in the Bible that there will be a one world currency, which we are easily steering towards right now, setting the stage for the one world government. And he will be, the Antichrist will be in charge of that one world government. There will be a one world religion. All okay. of that is going to take place while the Antichrist is ruling here on the earth for those 7 years of the tribulation.
And the first three and a half are great, right? Emerald. I mean, it's peace.
It's a false peace, but it's not right. necessarily like, it's not going to be necessarily like great like now, but it will, because like there still will be deception going on, and there will be like the pressure of you have to take the mark of the beast or you can't buy, sell, or trade goods. Mm-hmm. You won't be able to live unless you like pledge your allegiance to the Antichrist.
Right.
But it will be, I guess you could say, not as bad as the second 3.5 years will be, you know, for sure. But the 3.5 years, the Antichrist will then say to the Jewish people, you can rebuild your third temple. And he will right. give the okay to rebuild the Jewish temple. The Jews will rebuild the third temple on the Dome of the Rock right now where that stands. That will be no more, and they will be able to rebuild their temple there. Then 3.5 years.
Just so people like, just from a scientific perspective, yeah. the Dome of the Rock, that Temple Mount, is on an earthquake line.
Earthquake fault line.
So, yes. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, a fault line. So, I mean, it could happen because of an earthquake.
Correct.
Or increased activity in the Middle East as we're seeing now. But
right.
at some point that's destroyed. And yep. the Antichrist says, let's rebuild the temple.
Yep. And we'll basically orchestrate the peace between right. the Jews and the Arabs.
Okay.
And that will allow them to be able to rebuild the temple. Then 3.5 years into the tribulation, the Antichrist himself will walk into the temple and declare himself God, and will declare that everyone worship him, and that is going to be the time when the Jews their eyes are revealed. They see clearly that this is not our Messiah. This is not him. This is not the one we've been waiting for. And so the Jews are going to flee and go into the desert for 3.5 years and to try and escape being killed by the Antichrist, because the Antichrist will be their biggest enemy, the Bible says, that he is going to come after them and try and destroy them and wipe them off the face of the earth.
Doesn't Jesus talk about that in Matthew somewhere? Is it Matthew 20? Is it? Yeah, where he's Matthew like, woe 24. To you. Yeah, we're like, woe to you that are, if it's like, that's like if once you, exposed, you're not going to be able to get away from him fast enough. It's going right. to be very intense because you're going to
flee to the desert. And, right. And I mean, this is all God's planning, but there are like tunnels and things, I guess, in Israel. I clearly haven't been there yet or seen them, but that are there in the desert that God is probably going to use to protect his mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. the Jews during that time when the Antichrist is after them. And mm-hmm. God is, his ultimate protection is going to protect the Jews from being completely destroyed like the Antichrist is wanting to. So then at the end of the 7 years tribulation, that will be marked by Jesus Christ coming from heaven with his saints, with us believers who were already raptured back down to earth. It says in Revelation that he'll be riding on a white horse and all of his saints riding behind him back to earth, that he will then come to battle for Israel. Because during that time, right, when the Antichrist shows his true colors and declares him to be God, there's going to be all of these nations rising up against Israel, wanting to also wipe them out and coming alongside them, right. alongside the Antichrist. And it's only, no one's going to come to Israel's defense. Like today, when we have, you know, the U.S. at this point in time as Israel's greatest ally, you know, there will be no one coming to their defense. So it's going to be Jesus Christ coming back and being the Messiah and saving Israel from being annihilated by all those nations. So then that is his second coming, when Christ comes with his church and will descend onto the Mount of Olives. Jesus will stand, it says, on the Mount of Olives in Zechariah 14:1-5 and Acts 1:9-12. And every eye will see him. This will be something that his second coming will be something that everyone can see. Thanks to technology, I think that truly is something literal, you know, like every eye, look at what Facebook Live can do. You know, it can be something streamed around the world. Like every eye will see him coming back. And then this will set up, Jesus will wipe out those nations coming against Israel. He will then establish his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years, the millennial reign. But during that 1,000 years, he's also locking up Satan, the false prophet, and the Antichrist for 1,000 years. Says that those will be locked up and allowed to rule, not allowed to deceive people like he has been. And so life then will continue on for 1,000 years of the millennial reign with Jesus as
normal life, like people living for about, you know, 80 to 100 years and dying. Yeah. What about the saint? What about the people that have been raptured and then yep. can come back with Jesus?
So we come back. Yeah. So we come back with Jesus and we are basically helping him reign. We are like the king. It says in the Bible, it will be kings and princes on earth reigning. We will be assigned jobs based on how we lived our life now and how we have handled what he's given us now and how we've been responsible or not responsible with the things that he's given us. Those things are going to help determine what our jobs are and what we will be doing in the future in the millennial 1,000-year reign here on earth. And so we still will have our immortal bodies, but there will still be normal life with the humans who have continued to live through the tribulation. It will be very few, actually, because it will wipe out during the tribulation, like 2/3 of the population. And so it's going to be a time where life will resume for normal people, but we will be reigning as kings and princes, it says, and we will have jobs where we might be over certain things and certain places, but ultimately Christ is reigning from Jerusalem. His kingdom is from in Jerusalem. And then after the 1,000-year reign, Jesus will allow Satan to be loose one more time and released from the pit from the 1,000 years that he's been locked up. And it says to try and deceive the nations one last time. And this whole part, I don't truly understand why, like, God's going to allow that. But he has his plans. He knows but he is going to allow people to then, you know, basically choose, are you going to follow me who I've been here?
No, present, almost. Think about it.
To be deceived and follow Satan.
And what I kind of just like, okay, so if you want to, like, why would God allow that? I go back to kind of the Garden of Eden, right? Because it was perfect. It was perfect there. It was lovely. It was wonderful. And I think that's how the millennial reign will be.
Yeah.
And it'll be wonderful and it'll be glorious. And we'll be like, oh my gosh, Jesus is in Jerusalem and we're ruling and reigning. But I think as time wears on with humans, you know, like, even, okay, think about this. Even in heaven, right?
Yeah.
Lucifer began to get jealous, right? He began to be like, oh. And he began to envy and want to be like God. And he was out, like, cast out immediately, like lightning.
Right.
You know, I saw him fall. And same with, but so you can have absolute perfection, but if you begin to let envy in your heart, because there's choice. So obviously I think, like, the angels and cherubim and seraphim, they have free will to choose to worship or not worship. Yeah. And that's when Lucifer began to reject God and he was
wanted to out. Yeah.
Right. So then I go back to the Garden of Eden and you think, well, why would God put that tree, the knowledge of good and evil, in the Garden of Eden? Like, why would you even do that? It's, you know, it's so perfect, it's so wonderful, but that tree was placed there as a choice. Like, you can either choose to have this wonderful, personal, awesome, intimate relationship with God, walking with him in the night and cool of the day, and that's what Adam and Eve had, but then they decided to reject that by taking of the fruit because they wanted to be like God, just like Lucifer wanted to be like God. You might see in that millennial reign, people watch seeing Jesus ruler reign, and there could be that, well, I want to be like him. So if there has to be choice at all times, that's just God.
Yep.
There always has to be free will. He's never going to force people to then be with him and remain with him forever. Like, it's not like I'm going now because you just happen to be a human born during the millennial reign. Now you're forced to be with God.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to allow you to choose to be with him. And I think that's why then Satan is released to give people choice to follow him or follow God.
Yep. That's a very good point. That's good. No, I think that's very, very good and very true and very good point.
So then after that.
After that, then basically that 1,000 years, at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan, like I said, will be loose and able to deceive the nations. But then the final battle, like the final Armageddon battle, will occur at the end of that 1,000-year reign, when truly Jesus versus the nations that Satan was able to deceive, who to rise up against him to try and take down Jesus at the end of that millennial reign. That is when the Armageddon battle occurs. Ultimately, God wins. Jesus destroys and casts Satan and death and Hades into the lake of fire forever and for all of eternity. And that is then when the great white throne of judgment starts. So the great white throne of judgment is when all unbelieving souls, all unbelieving people from all of time will then be brought forth in front of the great white throne of judgment of God. And that is when if their name is not written in the book of life, they will be cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. And that is in Revelation, I think 19 or 20. I have to go back and double check, but that is then the final judgment. That's the final judgment. And then after the great white throne judgment, then that's when it says in Revelation 22, the new Jerusalem will descend mm-hmm. from heaven. And that is then the place of all eternity where we will spend with Jesus for eternity. The new Jerusalem will descend from heaven, and that will be where we live with Jesus forever, for all eternity. So it's that's Revelation 22 in the last book of the Bible, the last chapter of the Bible. But
it's really, yeah, I mean, that's
a lot going on.
Yeah, it's a lot going on, and it's very sobering when you, I mean, you think about like that final judgment day, like where you are going to stand before God and give an account for your life, and you're going to be judged. That's when God declares his righteousness for all to see, because he will judge.
Well, and that's the unbelieving believers. Right. So we kind of skipped over this part. When we are raptured in the Bible, we are caught going up to heaven. During that first part of our time up there, it talks about the Bema seat of Christ, that we, all of us, the church, we will be standing before the Bema seat of Christ. We will be there. That's where we, as believers, like we made it to heaven. It's not like we're going to get cast out of heaven.
Right.
We believe in Jesus, but that's where we will get our crowns of righteousness.
Right.
And that is where we will be judged per se for our works that we have done on earth, not to save us, but how we used what God gave us and how we were responsible with what God gave us here on earth, and how faithful we were to him with here on earth. That is the Bema seat of Christ, is the judgment for believers when we get to heaven. And so I think from what the Bible says, that's where we will be kind of given our rewards, our crowns of righteousness, or where we will lose out on, on those things because we didn't obey or we didn't listen to what God wanted us to do. Or and I think also that's kind of where it will help establish who's going to be the kings, the princes, the ruling back on earth when Jesus comes back to earth to set up his millennial reign. It's because those who can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. And that is where we will receive our rewards or lose out on those blessings. Mm-hmm. It's not that we're going to lose out on our eternal life,
or eternal
salvation. Like you're in heaven, but that's where it says that you will be given your rewards and your blessings or lose out on those. Is that the main seat? So that's the judgment for believers.
For believers. And then the judgment is...
The great white throne judgment is for all unbelievers. Well,
also, but I wonder...
All time.
Right. But we didn't mention... I mean, there's so much we could talk about in Revelation. Yeah. But we didn't talk about the martyrs mentioned, I think, is it Revelation 7?
6.
Okay. Yeah. The martyrs. So, that they will then go to that judgment. They'll be at that judgment as well.
Yeah.
The 144,000 that Jews that are then bringing the message during the Antichrist time. We didn't mention that, but those are actually tribes of Israel that are going to be dispersed and sharing the gospel in the midst of all of this going on. That they probably will then too be at that judgment, that final judgment.
Yeah.
I mean,
after the millennial, after the millennial reign. Yeah.
Right.
It will just be the church that's in heaven from the rapture during the tribulation time. So
geez, a lot to unpack. But it's awesome to begin to understand it. I hope this really did help those people that are like, what's happening? And I know there's people that are watching this, they're like, this is absolutely crazy, like this is nuts. The millennial reign and other saints ruling and a rapture, and they're crazy.
That's their
choice. But listen to this. the people that think I'm crazy, right? You're going to hear more and more. I'm telling you right now, you're going to hear more and more about aliens. Yep. You're going to hear more about spaceships and unidentified flying objects. And if you can believe in that stuff,
right?
Okay, that's a stretch, right? I mean, so it's like the Bible's true. The Bible's true. It's true. And it's just so incredible how we have such a loving God that cares so much about us to give us a written word inspired by his Holy Spirit to kind of navigate through these times, to be able to decipher where we've been, where we are now, and where we're heading. And then to also inspire the believer, every believer on here that's watching this, guys, share. Share. I try to share the gospel through this. I try to share it through just the influence on social media and just in my everyday life, being obedient with God, what I feel God is telling me to do.
Yeah.
But we don't know how much time we have.
Right.
Not to be like, we live like, oh my gosh, the rapture is going to happen. Or we live like at any point in time, you know, it's all good. We're here to occupy. We're here to take ground. We're here to speak the word. We're here to have families, to flourish, to take dominion, just like he told Adam at the very beginning, take dominion, be fruitful, multiply. And we're called to do that. That's what God wants us to do, and to share his gospel and speak the truth. Even if people tell you to be quiet, speak the truth, do it in love, right? Yeah. We're here to win people over, not shut them away.
Right.
But this is the truth. And it's hopefully I just pray that it did speak to some people and spoke to your heart, maybe brought some clarity. But we're almost,
it's the Bible. You have to either decide if you're going to take it literally or not, because you can't take one portion of the Bible literally, but not the other. Like, it's all written. It's all God breathed. Amen. And it is all God's word. It's literal. He's not a God of confusion. He wanted us to know his plans for the future. And that's why he gave it to the prophets, and why he gave us the Bible to read and to study. He doesn't want to be a God of confusion. It's very literal. It's not figurative, you know, in the whole context. So you can't just pick and choose. Like, it's either you're all in or you're not, you know, it's literal or not. And if you take it literally, then these things that we're talking about in Revelation, it's true. It's going to happen. Yeah. Like, it is literal. It's in context. And if you study it and you take the time to study it, it makes sense with who God is and why he has to do it and his purpose for it. And so, I would just challenge people to really take a deep dive into the book of Revelation, into the Bible. I mean, in general, it is written because it's God's love letter to us, and he wants to tell us his future plans for us.
All righty. Well, we're pretty much at an hour. I wanted it to be around an hour so people can share. Hopefully share it. If you have someone that you're like, I want them to kind of understand it, hopefully this kind of provided a little clarity. Maybe we can do this again and go deeper into like different things. Like, mention the different, I know there's different judgments in Revelations that take place. You've got the seals and the trumpet and the bowls. Like, how that's broken down, what things kind of symbolize. But hopefully that kind of gives you kind of a brief explanation. Emerald, thank you so much
for coming. Well, thank you so much for having me. So it's been such an honor. So
I'm just so thankful for it. I know people are probably like, where can they follow you? But like, Emerald's like, she's not really
I don't have a platform or anything.
She's just an incredible woman of God that really studies the Bible and provides clarity. So maybe, you know, we could do this again.
I think I would just offer up, a lot of the places where I've been able to study and learn from, and just, it makes sense, is in a simple manner, is from Behold Israel, Amir Sarfati. He is a Messianic Jew, author, noted speaker. He is an amazing teacher of the Bible and of end times prophecies, of geopolitical current events. He lives in Israel. He is just a phenomenal teacher and man of God. And he's, yeah, someone I would highly recommend, but also like Jack Hibbs, Pastor Jack Hibbs, like he's great to follow.
Yeah.
And listen to his sermons. Dr. David Jeremiah is great and also has offers a lot of insight and stuff on this. Gary Hamrick, he's a pastor in Virginia. All of those pastors are very easy to listen to and follow and learn from. So
I think it's just make whoever you start listening to, just make sure they back it up with the Bible.
Biblical references,
right?
Biblical truth, context. Yeah, biblical.
Where is that in scripture? Like, where is that in scripture? And when people are like, when they start, well, what this really means or what they're really trying, it's like, no, this is what it says.
Right.
I'm like, this is what it means.
Yep.
I think that can keep you hopefully from getting like off into like weird world.
Yeah.
Where you get deceived and suddenly it's just like completely off track, which I'm seeing a lot. I sent Emerald some tweets that I get when I argue with the replacement theology, you get some people that have really twisted it. And I'm like, but that's not in the, like, where is it in scripture? Does it say that? And they're like, well, it's kind of like a spiritual and it just kind of happened and it's not really stated, but it did happen. I'm like, you're just making stuff up.
Right.
Yeah. So be careful with that. Just always come back to the word, always come back to the Bible. Well, Emerald, thank you so much. I'm going to end the live stream, but you can stand with me for a few more minutes. But guys, do you have anything
Thanks
else?
For having me. No, thank you so much.
Awesome. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining. I appreciate it. God bless you. Hopefully this helped some of you, and share this video. And I just want to shout out to my supporters on Patreon and on Facebook. I'm thankful for you guys who keep this kind of whole thing going. God bless you all, and we'll talk soon. Bye, guys.
Bye.